I'm Rock Azadi, and this is how you sell without selling out. Roger's that.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rogers Healy, and welcome to Roger's That, a podcast dedicated to selling without selling out. And today we have a guy that's become a dear friend of mine. I met him through the world of, I don't want to say mentoring because that's not really fair because I've learned a lot from him, but through connecting, through SMU, my alma mater, his alma mater. A few years back, I was fortunate to get involved with a thing called Life After Ball. And it sounds just exactly what it is, right? It was a way to go and help shepherd the new generation of leaders, whether they play professional sports or not, but getting them access and introducing them to stuff ranging from business to education to maybe professional sports. And we've been blessed to have some awesome people. Grant Calcaterra, who was a guest a year and a half ago, was one of the guys I got to work with as well. But I met my friend Rock Azadi and instantly just gravitated towards him. We met through something completely unrelated and hit it off. And I'll never forget, I was sitting with him and just kind of asked him, hey, what do you really want to do? He's like, I really like to be, I'm creative and I'm an artist. And again, that could be interpreted however you want. But my pea-sized caveman brain was like paint? He's like, yeah. I was like, well, cool. I've always had this idea to have my favorite musicians on my wall. And so can you help me start with David Ruffin? And like a month later, he brought me back this masterpiece. And unfortunately for him, I think we've done like 10 more since because it's just, it's addicting. But he's way more than an artist, way more than an SMU alum, way more than a football player. And I think of Ra as a pioneer in the space of NIL, name, image, and likeness, which we're going to get to in a minute as well. But he's been featured on ESPN. He's gotten every award you can think of. But why I wanted him to be on this morning is that he's just become just such a great leader and has a way to just keep his cool, maybe even when things are not always going great. And to me, that's what a true salesperson and a true leader does. So diverse portfolio ranging, like I said, from art to football to trading cards to just a little bit of everything. And by the way, he's not even 25 yet. And so to do all this stuff at such a young age is so impressive. But I just spoke a lot because my coffee kicked in. But my friend Ra is here today. So Ra, welcome.
Appreciate you for having me. All those guys are great, like Grant.
Yeah.
Good guy, man.
Yeah, Grant and Bo and Donald Clay.
Yeah.
I just wore his hoodie this morning and I've gotten fat, so it doesn't fit me anymore. I have a Donald Clay hoodie and Jalen. What's Jalen? Is Jalen playing?
Jalen Thomas? Yeah.
Really?
I think he's playing. I got to remember where he's at, but he's somewhere.
Yeah. I think Baltimore or something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. He might James Prochet, even though
Browns.
James on the Browns now.
He just went from Ravens Browns.
Okay, cool. So like let's take a dive. Who are you, Ra? What a cool name.
Yeah.
We started today and one of this fans came up and said Ralph. So it's not
fans.
Ralph. It's Ra. So give us a glimpse into the life.
I mean, that question has been asked a lot. I think it's changed a lot since I was 18. So starting, I would have told you I was a football player, I was an artist, and I was a scholar athlete. Now I think it's more of, you know, I want to be a student. I do want to mentor, and I just want to be creative as possible, and you know, make that as lucrative as possible.
So, how have you figured all this out at a relatively young age? What's been the path? You know, you grew up in a competitive family, whether it's sports, education, et cetera, and it was just kind of instilled in you that, from what I can gather, you're going to just be the best version of yourself, no matter what. And so what was that like growing up where your dad's a coach at TCU and you watched kind of the evolution of his growth at SMU and other obviously schools as well. But what was that like, kind of grasping that pretty early on?
Yeah, I mean, he's all about everything has a reason. So everything we did as a kid, like it was when you wake up, you immediately do your 5 minutes because it makes you feel better throughout the day. You immediately like eat your breakfast.
Well, what's your 5 minutes? What does that mean?
5 minutes is like you clean your room for 5 minutes, basically get dressed and then just go about your day.
So did you clean your room naked and then you get dressed?
Yeah.
Is that like your reward?
As soon as you wake up, it's like boom, boom.
My bed is made. I can put on my clothes.
I guess I never thought about it like that, but maybe.
Wait, so you really? So
I don't know. Like,
don't go to the Kazadi house first thing in the morning.
Everybody will be clean.
Hello, everyone. You're all naked. Leave me alone. We're cleaning. So you have your
you do your 5 minutes in your room, basically just straighten your bed and like setting your intention for the day. But everything always had a reason growing up. So like, I think like the way we chose college, the way we talked about like, hey, where are we gonna go as a family, everything had to have, kind of a direction, and then you just walk in that direction, and if it changes, it changes. But you kind of just know where you're going.
But again, so going to college, playing football, I mean, what was the goal? Was the goal to play in the NFL?
Yeah, super early on, it was, I'm going to be the best version of myself possible, and whatever version of my, like, whatever that version ends up doing is, like, something I'll be happy with, because I know I tried my best, balled out, did whatever I could. So it's...
What position did you play?
I played safety, played a little bit of nickel, and then a little bit of cornerback, too. So kind of bounced around. Ended up playing a lot of special teams. So it was a lot of punt return, a lot of kickoff return, basically just being kind of being that third guy. If they needed somebody in, that was kind of what I did.
Was that hard?
I think it was hard.
By the way, asked from a guy that never made any sports team. I played football my senior year of high school simply because I found out they didn't make cuts in Texas high school football. Yeah. But I got cut from every other team. So this is not me speaking like I started at anything. But was that hard? I mean, going
it's, it is hard. I mean, because like everybody kind of knows, you're the best in high school. And like you're kind of even the best in your city. Especially when you're kind of playing in Jonesboro, Arkansas. You get some interest. You get your offers. Then you come to a school and maybe you notice like you're not the best guy like right away. Mm-hmm. So it's just, you kind of have to work at that. And then it's even understanding your role. If I can make the guy better next to me, maybe that's what I'm best at. Maybe that's where I'm like needed the most. And
how do you grasp that as a college student?
Like I said,
you're a competitive guy, right? Yeah. And you want to be the best version of yourself. And I think that's such a mature, you know, outlook to do that as a 19-year-old, a 20-year-old, where, you know, again, I think the whole life after ball program is great for a lot of reasons. One of which is that people need to know you're not going to play pro sports,
right?
And at a school like SMU or TCU or any school, I'm such a direct person. I'm like, hey, you have an opportunity to get a degree from a great school. Network your face off. You're not playing pro.
Right.
If you do play pro, you might play for 6 months, a year, 5 years. You're not going to probably be Tom Brady, but you probably got that headspace, you know, as an undergrad student, which to me, I think in a lot of ways could be like, it could hurt, right? But you did it and you owned it. Well,
yeah, it was kind of a push and pull, because you really do, like, you want to be the best because you're competitive and you're like in there every day. Like, why not try? But at the same time, you're like, I know what that world kind of looks like from seeing my dad play, seeing his friends play. And it was like, this kind of might be a negative outlook a little bit, but I saw guys super banged up at 45, not being able to like run with their kids.
45 is still super young.
Yeah. And then just like having to move cities every like few years, having to like kind of seeing the toll it takes on like your wife and your kids. And I guess knowing that when you're 18, 19 years old, and then kind of seeing as it gets more real and more real, like, is that something I want, or do I want to? Is that kind of what people would expect of you?
Yeah. Where you really wanted to just get into venture capital.
Which
we'll get there. Yeah, it's hard. I was talking to a buddy of mine this morning, which maybe not a good parallel or not, but Taylor Swift, maybe one of the most famous people in the world. She probably can't relax at her home without worrying. And I think that's just, you know, she's a victim of her own success differently, but. Again, with sports, it's just so crazy how, especially in football, like you're sacrificing your body to potentially do something, but you got perspective early on. So I don't want to keep just, you know, harping on that, but the experience and the education, you know, aspect at SMU, like how did you learn to navigate, you know, that's how we met, right? How did you learn to navigate as an undergrad and leverage the stuff that most college students, athletes or not, don't want to do? And I did that in college too, and it kind of changed my life, but I didn't have mentoring and, you know, kind of the experience you did.
Yeah, I mean, it was the big emphasis of why I went to SMU. It was kind of just like, you're in Dallas, Texas, the network was insane, and then as soon as you kind of step on campus, they tell you, here's all the majors we have, here's all the stuff you can do, here's our alumni list, which is crazy people, here's our list of people who own teams, you're billionaires, you're like, this is insane. You know, you go to a school and that's not like an everyday thing. I think you kind of get spoiled as an SMU student because you think that's just like how it is. But yeah, I mean, life after ball helped a ton, and then never do anything without a reason. So if I was going to go to that school like that, it's just network your face off, like you were saying, be the best at something, find your lane, and just do everything a little bit earlier than, you know, somebody else would.
Yeah.
You just beat people to the punch.
I was watching something yesterday, and it reminds me kind of a version of what you were doing about Magic Johnson, and he's a billionaire now.
Yeah.
And a lot of people don't realize this, but I think Magic Johnson's career earnings were $40 million. It's a lot of money, but
it's not a billion.
You're not going to make a billion. What he would do is every year at the beginning of the season, he would get a list of all the people that had courtside tickets, and he cold called them. Wow. He called him, which again, like he's Magic Johnson.
Hey, this is Magic Johnson.
Yeah, but he did it knowing that there was something, you know, bigger down the road. And I think that that's such a great lesson to learn that you did so well. So back to the college experience. And I remember probably 3 or 4 years ago, this thing NIL came out. People started talking about it, where the interpretation I got is, oh my gosh, you can pay athletes for their name, their image, and their likeness. And I remember the first time I had dinner with Grant, in order for me to buy his dinner, he had to give me something in exchange. So he signed an SMU football for me, right? And then there's guys like you that took it to the whole new level. So how did you go and take the creative from your brain, apply it while still in college to monetize it and do something that has nothing to do with sports?
That was a lot of questions, but it was a super weird process. But I mean, really, kind of always circles back to like family. Like they're just always kind of on, and they're always thinking competitively. So my dad was like, you need to be ready July 1st. Like the ruling just came out. It's in action July 1st. You need to have your website up. You need to have your, like your prints up. You need to be able to like have your list of tweets that you want to come out with up. Like, he's like, you know more about that stuff than me, but whatever you would do for a brand, it needs to be ready. Hmm. And I was like, okay, like let's do it. And you got to remember, this is like right before spring training. Well, this is not spring training, but it's in the summer. You're training for 4 hours a day, you've got classes, you have your internships, and it's just like, okay, just do this new thing. But got all that stuff up on July 1st. Website was super bad. Did it really quickly. And then you just tweet it out, and it was Darren Rovell, ESPN College Football.
Really? You know, he's a good buddy of mine.
Really? Yeah, Darren Rovell. Yeah, he was one of the first people to tweet something out like, this is super cool. This kid is
no just way.
I put a virtual gallery out, yeah, because I didn't have like enough time to find a real one.
No way.
Because apparently it's hard to find a gallery in a month. But yeah. But that came out. So I just did it all virtually, and really it was just doing whatever tools that I had, I just used with that, and then it just snowballed.
Did you?
Can't even take any credit.
Did
for
you
that.
Sell a piece pretty quickly?
Yeah, actually, AD Rick Hart, he bought my first piece. Yeah,
really?
Like my first NIL.
Didn't know
piece.
It was you.
Yeah, he's the one who he was like, I want to buy your first piece with NIL.
What was it, like a UNC connection or something like that? Or I remember you telling me the story. What did one? He buy?
He bought. It was a picture of his grandfather. It was Rick Hart. Yeah, yeah. At SMU.
He used to be something. Yeah, okay. I know who he is. But yeah, that's awesome. So how did you do that while playing sports, while in school, while trying to have a life, and again, not getting sucked into the vortex of making money in college, which easier said than done.
I think a lot of it, I got to credit a lot to the people around me because they were super supportive. Even Coach Haverty, he was our safeties coach at the time.
More energy than any human on
planet Earth. Yeah, a lot of energy. Yeah. So he's like super excitable, and we're in meetings, and you know, I'm a big proponent of be where your feet are. So if I'm in meetings, all I'm doing is taking notes, I'm looking at it, I'm breaking down the film with everybody else. But then right after that, I'm sprinting. I gotta like go to the studio, either like finish the homework, study a little bit more film, and then I'm painting in my dorm room. I don't have a studio space. So
did you have a roommate?
Yeah, I had a roommate.
Did they sleep with like a mask on?
They were pretty cool. So it's not oil paint, so they were straight. I was doing a lot of acrylic at the time. Now I've done like a little bit more oil, but they were really cool about it. And yeah, it was a little bit hard. AP, that article that came out with AP News, when it was like me, Lexi's son, a few people. So it was my birthday, actually, August 11th. And you have training. It's a training camp. You're there from 6 a.m. to probably like 11 p.m.
11 p.m.?
Yeah. Yeah, you get a 2-hour kind of break for right after lunch, and then you go back and do meetings. AP News was like, what is the best time to come through today? And I was like, I only have really 1:30 because I got to go and go back. And they're like, cool. So the whole time you're supposed to be like relaxing, calming down, I'm painting this picture of Dennis Rodman for them.
No way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And he's asking me all these questions for the interview and stuff, and they're taking all these pictures. And my other roommate's upstairs because he's like out of the way. But it was just a super interesting process, and it was a cool time of my life, but it was really busy, and there wasn't a lot to couldn't chill. I also started my nonprofit in 2020 with a bunch of
course you did. Yeah,
Well, it was with a bunch of teammates, and we just really wanted to help out. They're not a lot of guys who like to use social media, so they weren't posting like infographics and stuff, but they wanted to find like 30 minutes out of their day. So we were packing like canned goods, giving them out to like people without a home all over Dallas.
You need to find a way to make days longer.
Yeah.
Like that's make your first billion. Like my name is Ra Kazadi, and I've created the 25th hour.
The 25th hour. Yeah. Still trying to find that. But that was my college experience. So after my sophomore year, it kind of just changed.
Well, but how did NIL just change you as an artist in general?
Honestly, I'm sure some of the stuff, more work. It was just like more work. Like, you're painting because you're having fun, so you're not doing it all day.
Yeah.
Then when NIL came, it's like, okay, this is a job. Like, it turned into kind of a job. You have like three or four pieces you have to get done, like either in the next 2 months or this month. People are asking for a bunch of stuff, and then graphic design came into the picture. And then the school was like, can you design this patch for us? And you're like, that's like a big job. Like, and I have no time. So that was really busy.
And then like an Elton John painting comes up and you're like, I hate Rogers. Yeah. I don't want to do Elton John or Aretha. But
honestly, your projects were some of the most fun ones because I love music. I'm a huge music guy. And you make fun of me because I feel like we listen to some of different music, but it was cool for me to listen to some of the Aretha Franklins and even down to like the Phil Collins and the Earth, Wind & Fire guy.
Philip Bailey. Oh, right? You over here, you're reading your notes off your phone.
Yeah, I'm like checking them.
Okay, so who all have you painted for me? Do you remember?
Oh, man.
Started with David Ruffin.
Yes, this is like the lead singer. This is what he does every single time.
David Ruffin's the lead singer of what group?
Temptations.
And name your top, what's your third favorite Temptation song? Oh.
Dude,
name any Temptation song.
Right on the spot.
One Temptation song.
Just
My Girl.
Come on, man.
My girl. And then second was Don Henley.
Yeah, Don Henley with the Eagles.
Okay. And then your favorite Eagles song?
Dude, come on.
And then third, we did Aretha.
This is right on there.
Aretha's your favorite Aretha song?
That's like me being like, okay, what's your favorite Wu-Tang?
Dude, Kareem, probably.
What?
Yeah, Cat. Yeah. I'm friends with. Dude. You know
that's
that I
hard. Yeah, I mean, yeah, you said that very quick. Yeah,
yeah, because I, you know why?
A little bit.
Yeah, you know,
because you're a music guy. All right, we get it. You're better than me.
Okay, and then next we did Janis Joplin.
Janis Joplin. Then we did Van Morrison, right?
Mm-hmm.
Bob Seger, Billy.
Billy Joel. Levon Helm.
Yeah.
Elton John.
Crows.
Counting Crows. Adam Duritz.
Adam Duritz. Yeah.
And then. Rounding it off with the greatest rapper in American history.
Yeah, we did
Tupac.
Tupac.
Yeah,
that was cool. I remember that because I did the original Tupac way early, WFAA whatever.
And by the way, you're still stuck up on the fact that I know Wu-Tang.
Yeah, I mean you know Wu-Tang. Yeah. I mean you said that quick.
Yeah. Okay. So back to Ross. So let's talk about the influences, the influences in your life. Obviously, you got a great family and. You know, you've seen that as you've grown, but who's helped you kind of shape where you're at? Again, it's. I think it's a blessing.
In my life right now?
Yeah, just in general. I think it's such a double-edged sword. Maybe not. I think it's a blessing and a curse sometimes to have perspective at a young age. And I feel like I had my own version of it, which means I didn't really have a lot of people my age I could surround myself with because they were still trying to figure some stuff out, right? But I think you've done that as well as anybody. And again, at SMU, you've taken a really great advantage of opportunity they don't give other people. So talk about the influences in your life and how they helped you from football and art and obviously on the business side too.
Yeah, I mean, abstractly, I'd say football and art those are my biggest influences in my life. I think that's kind of where it's gone. And then specifically people from football, I'd say definitely the coaches. Like I think Coach Dykes has offered me a ton of opportunities. Was a huge influence on my life. Just coming in, I was super quiet. Like I didn't talk because, you know, you're Coach Kaz's son and people automatically assume you're like kind of like a snitch or something. And they get it too.
Well, also his dad, like they're very, from what I can tell, relatively different personalities. Mm. His dad is a more... You know, not energetic, but in-your-face personality.
He's like a very in-your-face personality. And I mean, that's like his persona, and he projects it well. And for me, I think growing up, I was like, I see the benefits and the downsides to something like that. So from coming in, if you're acting, you can't win. You're either going to be like the quiet guy or you're trying to act like too much like your dad.
Yeah.
So I think people just kind of understood it later on. Like, now you're more of a silent leader type. Like, I'm not going to scream, I'm not going to yell, but what I will do is, like, just out-compete you and outwork you, and that's just kind of what I do.
You'll catch him singing some Elton John songs.
So yeah, he just walks a little. In
here, Blue Jean, we call him Tiny Dancer up here.
You call me Tiny Dancer?
Yeah.
I don't know about that one. I would like a more masculine name for that.
Well, Tiny Dancer is an Elton John song.
I know it's an Elton John song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you learn from your dad, right?
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
your dad has taught you just to kind of be the best version of yourself, but also when you find out your brand and your personality, own it.
Own it, yeah. So, I mean, he's really big on owning your lane. And that's something we go with together. I'm like, hey, I've helped him with his social media. And I'm like, you need to post this. You need to do this. And he's like, why don't you just run it for me? So a lot of what I do is
25th hour.
25th hour. So I'll just, you know, like if I'm up at TCU, grab a few clips, cut it up, like put some music over it, throw it up there. Design, do it for him, help him put his website up. But that's just like something we'll kind of do together. And if I'm even with like some of the like VC stuff, I was kind of apprehensive on doing it because it was new for me. And with when you asked me that, I was like,
we'll talk on that because I want your audience to know and to kind of bring it full circle.
All I was saying is like he told me like he was like, hey, if you're nervous about a situation, like, I mean, jump into it. Like, why are you nervous about it? Yeah, so that's kind of how we do it together.
The problem that you face is a problem that I have never experienced, is that you remind me a lot of my wife in the sense that everything you do, you succeed, right? But I'm serious. And he's a note taker. Literally, he's a note taker. And he tells you where his feet are. That's where he is. But you're so fiercely present and you're such a great student that I never had that opportunity. My success is based off me working hard and just not quitting. You literally can find ways to navigate, which you've got kind of five or six full-time verticals that you're working on. And I think that's, again, that's just what makes you so special. But like, as far as challenges you've faced in your career so far, what would you kind of say would be on that list?
So far, I honestly, what you just said, trying to figure out where I can succeed the best and where I'm like the best, I guess, like asset. And I think doing a lot of things within a single thing would be really cool. But right now, there's so much stuff out there. And you're growing up, you're like, I want to play football. And football takes up so much of your time, you don't really focus on figuring out what you like. So I think there's a lot of benefits to playing football, but I think a lot of us were behind in figuring out what we actually wanted to do.
Not you. You started doing this. You freaking got into the other stuff at like 20, which, again, it's a blessing and a curse. And I think a lot of people, I randomly got into real estate early on, found success, and that was hard for me, right? Where my friends were bouncing jobs and moving all over the country and doing different things. And I was like, oh, I'm kind of good at this. And, you know, I kind of taught myself how to stay relevant, but you literally are doing, like, real quick, you're in venture capital, you're in art, you're in the trading card space. What else do you have going on?
I kind of shaved it, but a lot of the design work, so I'll do freelance design for people if they need like a whole renew, like they want to basically just rebrand themselves. Like SMU has asked me a few times to help them with some of their programs. Did that. Like rappers, artists, designers, have worked with them on either like the creative side, creative direction side. Besides the art. And then I've started to say like startups. Like I've helped like a bunch of people out in the NIL space, because it was kind of turned into this weird consulting gig where they would be like, hey, come sit on this meeting and tell us what we're missing. I'm like, okay, what is that? Like, yeah, how do you like value your time in that? So just like super weird stuff, but it's been fun with that.
And how are you starting to think about legacy again, which is such a, it's dangerous, right? And I don't even think about stuff like that. And I'm twice your age, but how do you live in that headspace where you're like, holy crap, I have the chance to be a part of literal startup companies, right? And I have the chance to go and have my own brand. I have the chance to help people like my dad with their brand.
Yeah.
How do you start to navigate that on the professional side where, again, you're single, no kids yet, and you're just dominating your profession? How do you actually tackle that? No pun intended.
Yeah. I guess with like legacy, and I'll answer that question first. It's kind of the reason I wake up in the morning, if that's not weird, but even today when I'm like, I don't want to run. I don't want to get up at 5 a.m., go run and lift and kind of be present, figure out a way to get those calls done, then come like on this podcast and do all these things that I know are like really self-starting things. No one's making me do them. But I think about, kind of weird, but I do think about like in the future with like a family or something like that, like what will I be able to tell them I've done? And can
just
I
watch this podcast?
Yeah. Like, and did I tell, like, did I do my best, or like, did I try my hardest? And I don't want to be a hypocrite when I'm asking if it ends up being my son or ended up being somebody I mentor.
Like, you're gonna have a son? What if you have a daughter?
Or a daughter. Yeah. Well, it doesn't matter.
By the way, you're guaranteed to have a daughter now.
Yeah. I know. And I'm not mad at that either. You know what I mean? But like, I don't want to be a hypocrite when I'm looking them in the face and saying, hey, I need you to do your best.
Yeah.
You know? So that's kind of what I think of with legacy.
So I'm going to put my therapist hat on for a second. Does that mean sometimes you struggle with just, do you struggle with the, I don't know. Can you appreciate the success, right? Can you look back and realize that at young age or not, you've been a part of so many special things. Is it hard for you to go and relish in that?
They just always told us next.
It was a very long, dramatic sip, by the way.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, I was like, but they just always told us next play. You celebrate for 5 seconds for something that you've worked maybe however many years. Like, people have been playing football since they were maybe 4 years old, and you were maybe on the college stage, you've made like an amazing tackle, you did an amazing play, you like basically just got to your gap, and your celebration is this big, like super small. So I think that's something that I'm still working on getting a hold of, like,
but
being
on the
able
flip
to
side, that's
it.
Why you're successful too.
Yeah.
Right? You've done all these things and you've won awards and you've been featured all over the media, but you know, okay, on to the next, right?
Yeah. And it's just like, okay, how do I make, like, I mean, you just break it down. What did I do wrong? Did I say the wrong thing in this interview? Cause I take the Fox 4 one. I was super tired. We were in the middle of camp again. All that stuff happened like back to back to back. So we're in the middle of camp. I've been up since 5 a.m. and the interview's at 6:30 p.m. on a Friday. I'm like, okay, guys, like, can we, like, but you have to be like excited, you have to be happy about the opportunity. Then you have to go back and watch it. And I'm like, dude, I look tired. I don't look super excited to be there, but I was.
Yeah.
And basically, how do you take that? How do you do better? And then,
you know what you needed at
the
time?
One, what?
A goat fuel.
I did need a goat fuel. I needed some. I mean, that, and honestly, that's when I got into energy drinks. I had never really drank any energy drinks until my junior and senior year of college.
Yeah. No, it's amazing. As time gets spread more thin, you know, you look for little hacks, and, you know, caffeine is one of them. Best advice you've ever received?
Oh, press the gift. I was super. I mean, coming out of school, you're just like wondering how much money you're going to make and like where you're going to live and all this stuff. And me, I have a problem letting things happen. I kind of like to control as much as I can control. So I was having a conversation with he's like an older mentor type guy. I think he might be in his 80s.
So he's older than me.
Yeah, he's older than you. I think he might be twice your age.
Wow.
Yeah, but we were talking and hanging out, just taking a walk, and he was... I was trying to.
Sounds kind of romantic. You guys were just
a little,
like,
yeah.
Just on a long
just
walk.
Like, we were just walking. He's like, maybe on the Katy Trail. So we just met on Katy Trail, took a walk, and he was like, "You're doing a lot, and you're going really fast. It's really cool, but sometimes I feel like you're worried about, like, you know, where you're gonna live. What's the next best thing? How can you basically blow yourself up?" And he's like, "You just need to focus on getting better at your craft and like pressing the gift and basically just being an asset to the people around you." And that made me shift my mindset from how much could I get to like, okay, how much can I like basically, like I said, be an asset to the people around you.
So loaded question coming up. How do you maintain balance? Or do you?
I guess,
by the way, it's a question we've asked almost everybody, and no one's ever been like, "I'm great at
balance." I'm great at it.
It's the constant struggle for doers.
Yeah, I mean, man, there's so many examples when I've tried, and I think there's balance in certain things, like balancing, like for me, like food, sleep, are big. Being able to interact with people a few times a week, big. And then obviously getting everything I need to get done is huge. Personal life has kind of not shrank a little bit, but it's definitely, I have to make intentional time for it.
Yeah. As you get older, you learn to edit.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy. And the stuff that you used to say yes to, you get really good at saying no to. Right. Which, or maybe at least I do. That's why I have the least balance of any human on planet Earth. I'm just so programmed.
I can see why. I mean,
yeah, but,
dude.
But again, I don't press. I like to help other people press their gift, and then becomes a drug, and it just becomes difficult. So when you look back, right, you talked about the legacy play. When you look back, when you're my age, when you're, you know, the gentleman who's 80, you're his age, what are you going to be most proud of that you've done? The Elton John painting?
I think, honestly, it could be things like that. Just I like bringing people's dreams to life. I like taking things that are abstract and being able to make them physical. So whether it's
it's really deep.
Oh, it's just kind of what I like to do. But it's whether it's a thought process, whether it's an idea, whether it's I have this thing where I like to say like obsess, process, progress. So instead of thinking about like success at the end, it's just if I'm obsessing about it, okay, what's my process to get it done, and then how do I progress that idea? And then I kind of take success out of it because, like you were saying before, like somebody, for some people, like a news article was the success, or like getting in this one gallery is a success.
Next play.
So, and if
what
you're,
did Kobe, what was Kobe's thing? Kobe Bryant? More.
Yeah, more. Yeah.
Like more. Yeah.
More. Yeah. And are you talking about that? It was that commercial. That was really cool.
Which again makes it hard to appreciate it, but that's why guys like you hopefully will stay humble, right?
100%. I mean, because I know there's somebody better than you everywhere.
Yeah, but you know, you can always make yourself better. And that's why I started doing this, is that there are people that are super successful that success has made you better. A lot of people, it kind of rots them out, but you do it different. So what's your advice? What's your advice to someone who's maybe getting into the NIL space, or someone who wants to go pursue art, someone that maybe doesn't look the part of a designer, or someone that has it burning inside of them? What's the advice you'd give them?
Man, that's a hard question. That's a good question. But I guess I haven't given much advice, but I will say.
You just gave 45 minutes of advice.
That's all advice, yeah. I mean, I really like saying, like, press the gift. I think, and I will also say, what would you do?
Well, that's advice you've ever received.
That's what I've gotten.
You have to. What's the advice? Press the gift?
What would you do if you weren't worried about the outcome?
Wow.
So that's something that I think about. And it's something that I actually was talking to my little brother about this, because he was so worried about like offers and like what he was doing. Like, could he do better? And I was like, Ro, what would you do if you weren't worried about.
His name's Ro?
Rohan, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Ro and Ro.
Yeah.
Golly.
Ro, Ro. Yeah, Ro, Ro. This is three, yeah. What would you do if you weren't worried about the outcome? And that helps me take the first step, which like leads to the second, and then I can start sprinting. And that's kind of why so many things started happening. Because I'm not worried about how much time I'm going to have in the future. It's just what can I do?
Life is long too. Everyone says life is short. Life is really long, right? Yeah. And you find out what you want to do by what you don't want to do first. It's just, again, unfortunately for you, everything you're doing is working and you're good at it.
I think just been like, great people, man. Great people and great opportunities, and I know people who kind of let you go. Like I don't like being on a leash at all.
Yeah.
So I feel like the more room somebody gives me to just run, I'll take it as far as they let me.
Love it. Last question. Best way to support you. How do we find you online? How do we buy your art? How do we buy your trading cards? How do we potentially go and find deals you're investing in? What's the best way to support you?
Yeah. Best ways to support me. I mean, you can find me on, it's RA5UN on Instagram. That's my like personal one, big one. But if you want just the art, Rawson Art. And if you want to find anything that like we're working on in the VC space, I guess we go to Morrison Seeger, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And anything else with the trading cards, University All-Stars, UR All-Stars, just trying to find a way into more schools. I want to help out more kids with their NIL. Want to definitely get more guys on that and help them press their gift.
Be on the lookout for that 25th hour as well.
Yeah, it's coming.
Yeah, so follow him online and hit him up and follow him. And again, it's just so fun to see what he's doing. And anything that we didn't touch on, anything that you want to leave everybody with, what did we forget?
Look out for shows. I'm going to start doing more shows next year, working on six. So four in Dallas, one in LA, one in New York.
Unbelievable.
So should be fun. Dates TBD on those last two.
Love it. Well, we'll be sure to blast it out there. But yeah, Raw, what is it? Raw Sun Art is the art one. Right. And then Raw, what's the other Instagram?
It's Raw Sun, but the S is a 5.
There we go. And what about a website?
Website is rawsunart.com.
And is it better than the one you launched 3 years ago?
Yes, way better. Way better. And then the next one will be even better.
Good Lord. Okay, well, I'm proud of you, man. I'm proud to be your friend, and just watching you grow over the last few years has been awesome, and glad we could tell your story.
Well, man, I appreciate all the help, and I appreciate, like, you know, just opportunities that we've been a part of together, and it's been really fun to kind of, I know you don't want to, you know, say mentor, but kind of be mentored, and then also, yeah, just, I mean, be in the room, be cool.
Yeah, well, go where your, what is it, go where your feet are at?
Or be where your feet are.
Yeah, my feet are up in the air.
Yeah.
Great job.
Appreciate you, man.